Transform your business with Microsoft Azure, the one-stop shop for everything cloud and AI. With Azure Migrate and Modernize, move your existing workloads to Azure with ease. With Azure Innovate, build new solutions with focused and deep engagement. Their core offerings provide comprehensive resources, expert assistance, and cost optimization tools. Accelerate your cloud journey and stay ahead of the competition with Microsoft Azure. Visit aka.ms/Azure Hero Offerings to learn more. That's aka.ms/Azure Hero Offerings to learn more.
Cloudcast Media presents from the Massive Studios in Raleigh, North Carolina. This is The Cloudcast with Aaron Delp and Brian Gracely, bringing you the best of cloud computing from around the world.
Good morning, good evening, wherever you are. Welcome back to The Cloudcast. We are coming to you live from the Massive Cloudcast Studios here in Raleigh, North Carolina, into the midst of January 2024. Hope everybody's doing well. Unfortunately, the college football season is now over. For those of us that are college football fans, it's 9 months of not college football. But for the rest of us, we're all back to work for the most part. I did see an out-of-office notice from a colleague who's in down in South America, so I sometimes forget that not the whole world is in winter or in the same seasons as we are here in the United States, but hope everybody's doing well, hope everybody's readjusting back to work, and we're going to kind of dive into what that readjustment looks like. Before I dive into that, I want to kind of give a little bit of an update on the show. You know, we go into every year with the best intentions, with a lot of intentional planning. We try and do the best we can to make sure that, you know, we put out the best shows that we possibly can, but also try and plan for a lot of things, plan guests weeks in advance, plan topics weeks in advance, and all those sort of things. And this year, you know, with all the best intentions that we had in mind, we have a number of things planned. We actually have guests planned all the way out until February already, which is really nice, which is good. And then sometimes life comes along, whether it's you know, personal life issues or work life issues. So both Aaron and I have some very unexpected stuff that sort of came along to us here as the first of the year kicked off. So what that means is really kind of nothing for all of you in terms of there will still be shows every Sunday and every Wednesday. But it does mean that we may be doing some slightly unusual things to make sure that Aaron and I, one of us or both of us, or sometimes some very good guest hosts will be with us over the next, I'm going to say, 6 to 8 weeks. We're going to try and work through a few things that have come up both in personal life and in work life that were unexpected. Nothing life-altering, nothing for anybody to be concerned about. No need to send concerns or condolences, but just know that behind the scenes, it's going to be a little bit different than we had expected. But first off, I want to thank some folks that are going to help us, especially on this episode, but also on a couple of episodes coming up. I want to thank Brandon Wichert, who has been a longtime friend, co-host of the Software Defined Talk podcast, expert in all sorts of things. He's going to join us not only this week, but potentially on a couple of shows over the next couple of weeks to help fill in some things. And Aaron may be working with some additional co-hosts as well, as I will be doing some very, very extensive traveling for work, kind of around the world in 30 days, if you will. So anyways, all that is to say that hopefully not much changes for you, but if you do, you know, hear a few little weird things, if we happen to say something like, hey, you know, it was great, this event happened the other day. Sometimes we record these things far in advance and, you know, we try and keep in mind when this is going to ship. But every once in a while, you know, you might hear something weird like that over the next few weeks. So we're going to do the best we can. Make sure you get your shows out every Wednesday and Sunday as expected and put out great content because we have all sorts of interesting guests coming up. But anyways, for this week's show, and we'll dive into it once we get past the break, but it's really sort of our look-ahead show, except this time we're not doing look-ahead for technology. We're kind of looking ahead at what it's like to be back for the Q1 of a year. How do you go about handling all the things that happen in Q1s, from budgets to expectations to potentially team changes and managerial changes and priority changes and all those sort of things. And like I mentioned, Brandon Wichert's going to join me not only as a co-host, but also an expert and a well-seasoned person having gone through this many, many times in his career. So let's get to that and we'll look forward to the show.
Are you getting pressure from finance to justify or reduce your cloud bill? Cloud Zero is the only cloud cost platform loved by engineers and trusted by finance. Cloud Zero can identify unused, idle, or over-provisioned resources, alert you to spend anomalies, and organize 100% of your spend into a framework that mirrors your business structure, like cost per customer, product feature, or team. It's the most powerful platform ever built to provide accurate, granular visibility into your total cloud spend without the typical pitfalls of legacy cloud cost management tools, like endless tagging or clunky Kubernetes support. manage cost, optimize development, and maximize profit, all in one platform. Join companies like Rapid7, Drift, and SeatGeek by visiting cloudzero.com/cloudcast to get started. That's cloudzero.com/cloudcast. Visit today to experience immediate and ongoing savings on your cloud bill. Today's show is sponsored by Panoptica. Panoptica, Cisco's cloud application security solution, provides end-to-end lifecycle protection for cloud-native application environments. Panoptica empowers organizations to safeguard their APIs, serverless functions, containers, and Kubernetes environments. Panoptica ensures comprehensive cloud security, compliance, monitoring, at scale, offering deep visibility, contextual risk assessments, and actionable remediation insights for all your cloud assets. To get more information, go to Panoptica's website, panoptica.app. That's Panoptica's website, panoptica.app. And we're back. And folks, just a heads up, and I'll probably cover this in one of the pre-show things as well. But between Aaron and I won't get into all the details, but some things have come up in terms of both our daily lives and our work lives and stuff that are going to make things a little bit bumpy over the next month or so. So call it the next, you know, 6 to 8 shows. And we are calling in some enforcements. We're calling in some friends. We're calling in some backups to make sure that we can do a whole bunch of good podcasts, not miss a beat, but sort of deal with a little bit of the chaos that both Aaron and I are going to be dealing with over the next month. So very, very excited to bring back a longtime friend of the show. I think we mentioned the last time you were on, you're now in the way past the 5-timers club, but Brandon Wichard, welcome back to the show, man. Great to have you on.
Thank you very much. I'm just awaiting my official jacket that I'll be wearing in future interviews, you know, my like Hall of Fame, you know, 5-timers jacket. But good to be back on the show with you, Brian.
Yeah, no, lots of good feedback from you were on with us doing the sort of what happened with OpenAI and what's going on in the AI world. Thing we do at the beginning of every year is we do a lot of these sort of look ahead shows for the year. So we take a big topic and kind of dig into it. And we're traditionally, we've always done these as like technology topics. So, you know, financial engineering or platform engineering or AI or something. And I thought maybe we'll do something a little bit different because, you know, we've covered a million technologies. I find out like sometimes, you know, do we need to cover them again? But I do feel like something that everybody can relate to is that kind of when you come back in Q1, how do you survive Q1, right? How do you survive everything from, you know, people doing annual planning to everybody kind of politicking and trying to position themselves and projects getting reinforced? And you amongst many people I know, kind of, I feel like you love this sort of stuff. You love the sort of the gamification of what goes on, whether it's QBRs or annual reviews or KPIs. And so I thought this might be a good topic for us to dig into.
Love it. Let's get into it. It's fantastic.
Yeah. So, so New Year is sort of upon us, right? We're into the second week of January. So we're all back. The kids are back in school. What, for you personally, like what sort of strategies do you think about as the new year comes along? Cause there's just this onslaught that comes along of, you know, annual budgets have probably sort of been worked out, but they're not completely done yet. People are still jockeying for position. People are throwing around goals. They're throwing around KPIs. There's, you know, annual stuff. There's Q1 stuff. Like, how do you sort of, you know, look out at that and go, okay, how am I going to deal with all this stuff? Because it's a lot of politics, it's a lot of personalities, but then there's just, you know, get work done stuff as well.
Yeah, no, I think it's a great question, you know, and I think, you know, I always start with kind of the simple things. It's sort of like, you know, what is the noise versus kind of what do I really think is important? And I think, you know, part of like, you know, if you will, all of this kind of goals and planning is kind of assessing. And I think that's maybe the place I start is sort of like assess both like maybe what happened last year and generally in your mind, like, what do you think is going on in the company this year? And a couple of things like I, you know, sort of like make notes to myself around is like, all right, so you're starting, you know, something new in the year, like, did the company get a lot of new leaders? Has there been a lot of management change, right? Most important and the number one thing is, what was the growth rate? Just to be real specific, what did the company do last year? What did you do personally to help, you know, grow your company last year? And kind of what is that quantified in some way? And then what does it look like the goals are for this year? And I think depending on the answers to those questions, I approach it kind of differently. And I think one way to think of it is in a larger, more established company, generally speaking, right? is going to be more predictable. Like it's sort of like you finish off last year. It's almost like seasons in sports. It's like you kind of know. It's like, okay, we're going into next year. We have to do this planning. We have to do this budgeting. And you probably have some big tent poles that you know are on your calendar. Like the company conference is going to be this time. And the analyst report that I have to contribute to is on this time. So in that way, it's sort of like just getting a sense of like, what do we do last year? What does the schedule look about the same? Do the budgets and the growth rates look about the same? Because if that's all, you know, kind of, if you will, and the leaders, back to the thing, are your leaders, your managers, and the company leaders generally the same? If so, I think it's a lot of just sort of like slow and steady and kind of just, if you will, refining what you did last year, figuring out what didn't maybe work, what you're going to tweak, and maybe coming up with one or two things that are new and interesting that maybe you think can help grow the business in some meaningful way. Now, I contrast that with, you know, maybe if you're at the startup or you're just at a company where someone walks in and says, like, last year we grew at 5%, and you get a new executive and the new executive says, to this year, we're going to grow at 100%. We're going to, you know, if you will, 20 times the growth rate we did last year. And maybe they propose some new idea that's maybe kind of hazy, right? Now, that's the case, you know, that's when my antenna really goes up and you have to really start looking at everything about like, why does the new executives believe that? Where are they coming from? And that's going to be an idea where you have to maybe drastically change what you've done before, because it's unlikely that, like, if you grew at 5% last year and you're going to grow at 100% this year, that, you know, your goals don't have to radically change, whether it be how many people you're going to hire, what you're going to do, whether, and I don't care if you're in engineering or in marketing or in sales, you know, if you're going to see a radical change in growth, then something radical is going to have to change with the company. So I got to look, you know, that's, I think we have to start with a real honest assessment. What about you? How do you approach it?
Yeah, no, I think you hit on a lot of the really important stuff. I mean, I think the did management change is to me always kind of the first thing I gauge, because, you know, the worst thing that you can have is somebody new comes in, you know, inevitably they're going to be super eager, right? I mean, it's very rare that you get somebody who comes in new, especially like new sales leader, new marketing leader, new engineering leader, and they don't come in with sort of the mandate, or at least the belief that they have a mandate that, like, I was brought in to change stuff. I can shake stuff up as much as I want to. I'm going to be kind of rah-rah. And you're sitting there, like you said, well, maybe last year it was like, oh, we grew 5%, or it was a nice steady year. We didn't have too many things blow up. And all of a sudden you're like, I'm going to be out of my comfort zone right away, right? Unless you're kind of on the same page. And then, yeah, you're right. The second thing is when the gears shift significantly, either things are going to slow down a lot, meaning like you're going to have to like lay off a bunch of people, or like you said, like this year, like 2024, I feel like it's one of those years where, you know, the economy's been a little bit slower. You know, people went through some layoffs. There was a lot of uncertainty. And people are starting to see this sort of, you know, light at the end of the tunnel here in 2024. And it's like, I feel like there's going to be a lot of people that are like, let's really put our foot on the gas. And they're going to do it in ways in which it's going to be like, yeah, give me that 80% growth, 50% growth. But they're also going to be doing the thing where they go, but we're not going to add any more headcount. We're not going to add any more resources. And so then you immediately go into that mode of like, all right, well, how in the world does this math work? Like, how am I going to do 80% more with the exact same resources? Like, how does that work? So yeah, I think you hit on the two or three probably most important things in terms of gauging, you know, how do you go about planning it? And then I think part of it is, like you said, it's going to kind of depend on your personality. Like, what are you, traditionally a slow starter? Do you sort of like to lay back and just sort of see how the games plan out? Or do you want to be somebody who's like, I'm not afraid to light off a grenade here, you know, in the first meeting, and just let everybody know, like, I'm going to be in charge. I'm going to set the tone that I want to take on the big project. I'm willing to make change, be a change agent, whatever that thing is.
Well, listen, I've done every one of those things, and I don't know. I don't know if I would recommend the grenade. I'll just say, like, the grenade, probably not. Probably shouldn't do it. But I think what you said before, I want to go back to something as we kind of answer, think through this other question, was, you know, you said something about like, does the math work? And I always think this is something like everybody at every company, no matter what group you're in, right? You can kind of do the math yourself, just what you just said. So it's like, if someone walks in and says, we're going to grow at 100% next year, right? We can all just instinctively kind of look around and figure out, like, is that obtainable? And I'll give you an example. Like, if you're at OpenAI, And we talked about that last time, or any of these AI companies, and someone says, we're going to grow 100% this year. It's like, you know what? It's actually somewhat reasonable. Like, it's like we had this massive growth last year, kind of came out of nowhere. And we see, you know, still only a fraction of the people that could possibly use this have even touched it. And we have this incredible momentum, both in the press, with our product, whatever, right? Like, then you're at a point where like, okay, like, you know, you kind of feel it. In fact, you may be on like the big winning team, right? You know what I mean? It's like, there's a place where you're like, hey, this could be career changing, life changing for a lot of us. Like, and so I don't want to come across like, oh, if someone comes in and says it, like we should immediately be skeptical, right? But if that's the case, if we are in a place where we've kind of seen some of this stuff, we should, you know, if you will, embrace it. And then kind of to your question, it's sort of like, if you're growing that fast and you kind of have this momentum behind you, you're probably going to have some hiring that's going to come in. But also too, you probably do have the ability to go out and come up with some new goals, which is going to really kind of map to specific new things that you think you can do that could really drive this business. Because you kind of know, if I can get this product in front of more people with confidence, that I can see the kind of adoption that maybe very few companies have seen. Now, to go the other way, I'll just pick on like monitoring. It's one of my favorite topics. Like someone's like, oh man, this year we're going to monitor the Windows operating system. And we're going to do some, we got some new parameters for containers and we got some new things for database. It's like, okay, you know, I'm going to need to see a lot more than that, right? Like that isn't necessary. Like we've seen that before. And I don't think the company's going to come out, and especially if a new CEO is taking over and they're trying to drive new, more money for monitoring. And it's just like, and the roadmap is the same. And we grew at say 10% last year. And this year they're like, it's next generation. And they're coming up with some new words. It's like, that's a place where I'm going to be more skeptical. Now, I think the question is sort of like, if you will, to use a phrase from someone else, it's like lean in. It's sort of like, if you see there's great opportunity and you've got like something huge, like that OpenAI, I do think you go to the meetings with a lot of ideas, a lot of plans, because it's probably going to be very well received. And also there's probably going to be people wanting to say yes to those ideas. On the other hand, if it's somebody coming in without, you know, some data behind it, that's probably where I'm kind of retreating a little bit to like, you know, I'm excited about the vision. You know, I'd say something like this. At the same time, I know what we did last year. I know what the roadmap is. I'd probably retreat to be like, I think this year is going to look a lot like last year. And I'd probably be building my goals based on that template. So it's really, if you will, it's situational. And I think that's where I think, you know, as all of us can do that analysis ourselves and make our own decision before we actually drive any goals. What do you think?
Yeah, no, I agree. I think if the person comes in and says, we're going to grow 100% and your product looks like OpenAI or Stanley water bottles or, you know, Hoka shoes or something like that, where you're like, yeah, they just fly off the shelf. I don't think we even need to do anything to do, you know, a couple of Instagram, you know, posts and so forth. If they come in and they go, we're growing 100%, and the thing behind it is, you know, private equity with, you know, they just spent $12 billion in your product. It's going to be a tough year. It's going to be the, you know, how in the world does this math work out? So yeah, the 100% is not 100%. It's not the same in all scenarios. So I think you highlighted that very well.
Well, you hit on one there, and I think we see it so much in the press. Hopefully everyone knows that the Stanley water bottle has become like, you know, at least is it worldwide craze, at least a craze here in the United States. And I think that's a good one. I would love for a Harvard business case or the Harvard people to go do a business case on it, because that's one is I've read about it as much as I can, right? So I don't know what really happened. But like, if you go back in time, that was a water bottle that they basically built that wasn't performing really well. That, and as the story is told, the new CEO came in and identified, hey, we should do some more joint marketing with these influencers in a specific, I think, women's fitness group. And from that, they kind of grew that water bottle, and it sort of just blew up through promoting it through social channels and then, you know, doing some savvy things around other colors. And so, you know, there's always the thing about like, and I think every year, like if you kind of have something in the back of your mind, and so my guess is, without any information, my guess is that the CEO did not come up with that idea. My guess is that CEO got to the company and somebody was like, you know, we've been talking to this social marketing group. In fact, they bought like, you know, 1,000 bottles for us so they could resell. I think we should do something with them. Like, I think that's probably how it went down. I think they were just sorting around. Somebody's like, I really think there's something to this. And what I don't, you know, of course, I don't really know what happened, but like, that's the kind of thing where it's like, hey, why don't we just try some more social marketing? It's not going to be super expensive. And let's see if we could crack a new market. Like, to me, that's kind of the perfect, if you will, goal, that you're not setting yourself up to like grow the company 500%. It's very tangible. It's something that you can control. And if it does hit, so in the case of Stanley Water Bottle, I think it's gone up like, I don't know, from like, say they sold like 50 or 100 million. Now they've sold up to like $700 million. You know, so it, if it hits, it can be massively successful for you in your career. At the same time, you weren't signing yourself up for something like, oh, if it doesn't hit, everyone's going to look at you like, oh, you just cost the company, you know, millions of dollars and you're going to get fired. So I think stuff like that, I'd love to see stories like that. And of course, you just have to realize that eventually if that does hit, the CEO is going to take that story and it's going to be twisted. And that that person is never cited. That person that was working with that social marketing team, no one knew who they are. It's just the CEO. But so it is what it is. I'm sure they got a good bonus somewhere along the line.
Yeah. Sign up for the stock options as soon as you can. Don't worry about the credit for it. Just
that's right.
You know, take that. I had written in my notes, have you seen any goods or bads in how people sort of deal with that? You know, the numbers seem too big. And I'll throw out an example. What I mean by that is I've been, so example, you know, company comes out, customer, you know, executive team says, hey, our number for the year is, you know, $1 billion or whatever, you know, whatever a big number is going to be for the year. And there's that initial reaction, because what happens, I find, is people can only grasp big numbers to a certain extent, right? Like they, like if you told somebody, hey, how big is 17 trillion? They'd be like, I have no idea, right? But if you told them a number that was like twice their salary, for example, then they're like, oh, that's a big number, but it's like, it's in proportion to something I can relate to. And I find a lot of times, like I've been at sales meetings where they, you know, they throw out the number and the first thing is every salesperson just sort of freaks out because they were like, I put in so many hours last year to make the number that I made, and now you're asking me to do 30% more. Like, how in the world is that going to happen? I sold everything I could sell last year. I went to every customer I could go to. I did every meeting and golf thing I could do. And one of the things I found that tends to work is when you get those situations, you've almost got sort of a shared desperation in the company, right? Not that the company's in bad shape, but people who normally wouldn't necessarily work together, but have this sort of, you know, their chunk of the rock they have to carry up the hill. I find sometimes that just the sooner that they'll admit and get together with each other, as opposed to sort of having big egos about it or being like, I've always done this on myself, tend to survive a little better at the beginning, because they build, it's sort of like the show Survivor. They build relationships based on stuff that they're like, we're going to need these things to survive. So I need you to help me a little bit and you to help me a little bit and I'll give a little bit. That's one of the best ways I've seen, you know, that immediately jumped out at me when people get these big, you know, annual goals or Q1 goals, is instead of taking it on themselves, they immediately are like, okay, who can help me with this? And I'm willing to lay down my sword and not sort of fight over it or make an ego about it.
Yeah, I think for sure. I mean, I think we're always looking for, like, you know, good teammates, if you will, people to kind of like work with, conspire together, right? You're looking for people like, you know, that you kind of can get in the room together and be like, okay, let's kind of get something done. But to the point there, I think that, like, I do think you have to be careful though. Like, I think this is a moment where you have to kind of like measure the culture. Like, is it a culture of collaboration where sort of like everyone gets in the room and is willing to do that? And I think that is a lot from the leader. So when the sales goals come out, right, when the sales leader distributes them, are they sort of like just giving out assignments and it's like, you know, go get it done, right? You know, the classic is, you know, this is why we hired you. You're a smart person, figure it out, right? Or are they looking for or bringing some type of collaboration, right? Hey, I'm giving out these goals and here's the new sales process, or here's the new way we're going to work together, or here's how you're going to have some new sales support, or here's how you're going to have new leads. This is how we're engaged with marketing. And I think this is a point where, like, I really think you have to assess the company as a whole. And I think the cheat code here is to say every sales leader and every CEO, they're always going to give out very aggressive quotas and it's always going to be more than it was last year. But the place that you can often go to, especially if you're a public company, is like, what did finance give? What is the guidance that was given publicly, if you're a publicly traded company? Or what was the plan that was shown to the board of directors? What was the growth rate? Now, sometimes you got to have to know someone in finance, right? Because that's what you really want to know, because that'll give you a sense of like, are we just sort of like, you know, is the leadership just sort of trying to push because that's what they feel like is the only way they can get it done, is to like triple everyone's quota, hoping, you know, one person makes it? Or, and you kind of find that if it's like, okay, everyone's quota is like double, but when you find out the real number from finance is like, you're going to grow at single digits. Well, then you kind of know it's like, well, you know, even the executive leadership isn't really bought off on this big goal. Now, if they've signed off on it and publicly the company stated that, then I think you really do want to have a team of people and a group that's really coming together and is willing to try something new and do different things and accept that some of it won't work out, you know, kind of make fun of sometimes blameless postmortems, but that's kind of what you're looking for. But I do think, you know, to be honest about it, like every company is different, right? You know, sometimes you're not always going to be the company that's kind of, if you will, bringing together that level of collaboration. Sometimes, you know, people are kind of being kind of pushed out because no one wants to own a big failure, right? No one wants to have the big miss on them. So you have to be real careful about that. I don't know, what has your experience been?
Yeah, no, I agree. I there is, you know, and this is sort of the whole theme of Q1 is it's a lot of politicking. It's a lot of people figuring out, are they signaling that they want to take on the big risk? Are there people who are sort of fading into the background because they're like, there's too much uncertainty, I'm just going to kind of wait until it plays itself out. There's a lot of behind the scenes meetings. So yeah, I would say if you're younger in the workforce and you haven't sort of been through this, you know, this is where you want to sort of find a mentor. This is where you want to, you know, be asking questions when things just kind of don't seem right in a meeting. Not like there's some conspiracy going on, but you're just like, huh, why is that person, you know, acting that way? Why are we having this meeting? Why is that person taking the lead on stuff? Yeah, I think there's a lot more politics that go on in Q1 just because there is so much, you know, am I going to get blamed for things? Are we collectively supposed to try and fix this? Is this on one group? You know, are there dependencies that I'm not aware of? All that kind of stuff. I think you got to have a pretty good map of what, you know, success looks like, survival looks like. And like you said, like, you know, are there scapegoats being set up, to, you know, not to fail on purpose, but, you know, people sort of know, like, if that person doesn't get their act together, you know, we may not have them around in Q3.
Right. And I think it's, you know, both that person and sometimes that business line. Like, I think today I was just reading, you know, Twilio, right, is under mm-hmm. incredible investment pressure because I think they went out and they bought kind of this apps business and the segment stuff, and they kind of got away from their kind of core communication stuff. And it's like, you know, that business line is really under scrutiny. Like, you can see it from the outside, right? Like, you've got activist investors wanting to get rid of it. So there are times where you kind of have to look at that and figure out, hey, you know, if I'm in that side of the business, I got to acknowledge that we have some real trouble going on. Now, flipping that around, if I was on the communication side of the business, it'd be like, listen, I know the executives want this company to grow at this incredibly huge rate, and I know they believe Segment's going to do it, right? But at the same time, like, I know this communications business inside and out. Like, I know what we did last year. I know what the roadmap is. I know how to sell it. And I know a general idea of what we're going to do this year. And if you really a master of your own domain, that's going to be a source of real power, because it doesn't matter what people say. If people know that, like, you know what's going on and you know what the number is going to be, and, you know, you're the person that can kind of provide expert guidance in that area, that is always a skill in demand, right? And you don't have to be super rah-rah about it. You sort of like, I know what I'm responsible for and I'm owning this. That becomes, like, if you will, a source of kind of, if you will, your expertise and why you're valuable to the company. And it can sort of, if you will, I find it as almost a way of meditation. It's like, I don't care what's going on around me. I know what this is going to do, and I'm going to stay to this, and I know this is my truth. And that can, if you will, be a way to sort of just, if you will, tune out the noise in the Q1 craziness.
Yeah, no, that's good advice. So you and I are both big sports fans. We both follow a lot of sports that have sort of fixed calendars, right? So the teams play for the season. The season ends on a certain date. Maybe there's playoffs, but, you know, the season ends on a certain date, and then everything sort of starts over, right? So, you know, if your team was good or bad last year, it doesn't matter. It starts over. And business has a calendar, right? We all sort of live by the calendar. You know, if you're a public company, there's, you know, quarterly reports that you do. But that doesn't necessarily mean that, like, the projects start over. So What have you experienced in terms of, hey, you're working on some stuff, it's deemed to be, you know, priority level, whatever, you know, it's a priority one project or two project. And then sort of January 1 kicks in and all of a sudden it's like, well, they changed the priorities. How do you, you know, what have you experienced in terms of, well, what do I do with this project that's midstream? It's not completed yet. There are some people downstream that want it still, but it's not, it's at a different priority. Let's say it's at a lower priority than something else you have. Like, what have you found in terms of, you know, communicating with stakeholders or, you know, communicating to your team about priorities? Just because a lot of times people will freak out if they think like, well, wait, if we got deprioritized or that thing got deprioritized, am I still important? Is our group still important? Like all those sort of fears kind of come into play, you know, and all that's really happened is like the calendar flipped.
Yeah, I think there's sort of like, you know, the tried and true things, especially if you've been in a job, you know, multiple years, it's sort of like, you know, the one of my favorite ones is like, you know, someone's like, we got to redo the messaging, right? We've got to redo the messaging. It's like, okay, you know, and there's like two things that are happening there. Like one thing could be, it's like, we need to refresh the messaging, which kind of just means that like, we want to update and use kind of slightly different language. We want to update our stats that we use in our presentations. Maybe there's a new template. Maybe there's a slightly different branding and things like that. And it's sort of like, okay, you know, I get it. Has to be done. Just want to keep things fresh and new. But in those kind of times where it's sort of like, you know, the core value proposition did not change. Like on December 31st to January 1, you're like, overnight, there was no change in the core value proposition. We're still doing the same thing that we were doing before. And in those kinds of things, I just think it's sort of like, hey, you just kind of have to like, if you will, keep the things you were working on before. And at the same time, if you will, kind of do some of the basic updates that are being called upon. Now, versus if people are starting to reallocate budget, that's really where I think what you're talking about is sort of like, okay, we have looked at this and we've been doing this for a while and we've decided that we're just not getting what we want out of it. And I think that's a lot different to your point about, hey, let's make sure that everyone that is available and can, let's get them reallocated to the new project quickly, because that's really what people are doing when they're fighting it or a project's lingering, is that if you haven't given somebody somewhere new to go or something new to do and kind of like that's budgeted, right? That's where you're going to get a lot of pushback where people are going to be like, I was working on this really important thing. Like we can't let it go. But I think if you tell them like, here's your new thing, here's your new goal, and here's the, you know, and more importantly, here's your position in the company, that's going to go fine. I think what it's frustrating to people at times is sort of like what you were saying before. It's the this and something new. It's like, well, we want you to keep doing this and we want you to do this new thing and this new thing's slightly more important. I think a lot of times that just kind of comes back to you. It's like you kind of have to figure out based on your experience, where is the time and effort really matters, right? And in some cases, it's sort of like, it just may be this new flashy thing that people talk about a lot, but it may fade away very quickly. So maybe you kind of consistently work on your old projects or vice versa. Maybe it is time to like, if you will, retire that old project and get onto the new thing.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's one of those situations in which if you play it right or your manager plays it right, like it's an opportunity to potentially get rid of some dead weight, some stuff you're like, oh God, I wish that project had gone away anyways. Oh wait, I got to get out of jail free card. Cool. Like we can just drop it. Nobody's going to care. But it's also a chance for you to sort of be a good team player and be like, look, I'm going to find a way to finish this thing at least minimum viable because somebody was dependent upon it. I may have to work a little bit of double, you know, kind of starting on the new thing, but yeah, you're right. I think it's amazing how much people are sort of hypersensitive in Q1 when like new announcements go out, new assignments go out, and like every single person is like, where am I on the list? Where am I included? Am I not included? And it's super important for managers to be like, okay, I got to be like in their mind, they're not necessarily thinking of all the nuances downstream from them, but it's almost one of those times when they have to be hyper vigilant to be like, I'm going to make sure that every person's name is included in this announcement. I'm going to make sure that every project is included. I'm going to try not to sort of like tell the world which ones are higher priority and lower priority, at least in these sort of mass things, because people treat some of these announcements in Q1 like they're the Zapruder film. Like they're reading every word, every sentence, every nuance. What do they really mean by that? So you got to be, you know, if you're a manager or higher level folk, like you might be thinking big picture, and sometimes you've got to put in the time to do the nuances. Cause like you said, people are worried, are like, am I included? Do I have a path forward? How quickly does my boss communicate that to me? All those sort of things.
And I do think, just to pick up on that, like, you know, it's okay. Like, I think if there's any valuable to experience or value in general, it's just sort of like, if you've seen things multiple times, it will give you a kind of a good guidepost. And I'll just throw out one example. It's like, oftentimes in the new year, it's like, hey, we're going to like roll out a new content management system or right? Yeah. And it's like, the new content management system. And it's like, on this date, everything has to be in, and, you know, and it needs to be in the new format. And, you know, if it isn't, like, you know, the sky will fall and death will come to all of us. And it's like, you know what? I've been part of a lot of content management systems. And it's like, it will pass. Like, you'll get everything loaded. Some of it won't be perfect. It'll still be fine. You'll still have your old material. It'll take you a while to get it like figured out, and like, you'll like complain about the new system, but like, it'll just work itself out. Like, it will. And so like, that's the kind of stuff when people, it doesn't even faze me anymore. So I think when you see stuff like that, it's sort of like, you just kind of like, okay, it's great. Let's fine. We need a new content management system. Like, nothing bothers me. I'm happy to upload the new stuff there. It's like, it will just get done, but it's like, I won't like have any sleepless nights about that, versus like, if we were releasing like a new product or something like that, and you felt like, oh man, the company is really on the line, and, you know, this is it, and like, you know, we put a lot of time and money into this, and like, I probably would have a little sleepless nights around that. So yeah. You know, experience can be your guide, and in a lot of ways your gut feel is probably going to give you, you know, the best impression about how important something is.
Yeah. Well, the other little tip I would make is, as much as you want to ask, and you want to ask a whole bunch of times, like, hold yourself back to maybe one question where you ask, like, when we do the new content management system, will this just automatically migrate the old system and all of your tags and all of your folders? And no, it won't. And don't be the guy that asks more than once, right? The people with that project, they know it's going to be painful, and they're dreading all this stuff. Don't be the guy that makes their life miserable. They know that you wanted it done easy, but, you know,
but it's not going to be that way. And it's like, it's okay. It's going to work out. It'll eventually be there. It will always, at the end, it will always work out. And usually, as we all know, when you finally get it right, it's time to go into the new one. So you just don't ever get attached. You're like, it doesn't matter. They're all fine to me.
That's right. All right. We are rolling along. I'm going to throw out one last question, because I think this one's fairly important. It's Q1. It's sort of, you know, new goals, new, you know, it's the new company, new for the year. Who do you find are the best people to sort of align to, right? There's always the sort of, you know, our team's going to get together. We're going to kind of bond over like what the new thing is. But like, do you find it's best to sort of like cozy up to your manager or their manager? Or is it best to align to like finance because you kind of really want to understand the numbers? Like, do you have any strategy or history of like, okay, new stuff's going on, there's a little bit of uncertainty, you know, what's the best sort of alignment strategy, if you will?
Well, lots of choices here. I think what I tend to do is like, to your best of your ability, you know, if you will, find the quote unquote chief of staff or the finance person or somebody in the organization that knows their numbers. Like, I think knowing them well and getting a sense of like, what are the numbers that your executives in some way are responsible for is very important. But more importantly than that is sort of like, once you kind of know that, like, you know, it's kind of sounds simple, right? But at the end of the day, like, stay close to the sales group and customers, right? Like, if you can go out and understand what's going on in your market and what people need, and be very helpful to closing deals, always going to be valuable, right? Always going to be the most important thing. You know, I don't know, as far as the manager and, you know, staying close to your managers or your executives, like, I think it's case by case. Like, the times in your career, you can have great managers. Now, you know, they'll probably become friends. They're going to be people that really help you out and move you up in life. And that's what we all want. But other times, you know, those managers are going to be really busy doing other things, and, you know, they're going to have their own priorities. And I think, you know, kind of coming back to like, always start with like owning your own business as much as you can. And again, like, I'm talking a lot about sales and marketing kind of stuff, but I think it's the same thing on the engineering side, that, you know, being the engineer that knows how to, like, you know, if you will, fix the most important bugs, or has a really good sense of what the customer wants and knows how to quickly, you know, if you will, implement the requirements that he or she's seeing from the market. Those are the kinds of like timeless skills, right? That's what people are always looking for. And I think at the end of the day, you know, politics will come and go. managers will come and go, but like if someone leaves, you know, it's sort of when someone talks about you, like that's what you hope someone says, like, oh, that person is good. That person is really good with customers and they really helped us do X, Y, Z. So that's kind of like, to me, that's always the guiding light. And I think the more you do that in your career, the better off you'll be.
Yeah. No, I think it's good advice. I think anytime you're a little bit uncertain as to, you know, where to prioritize things or where to be aligned or where to have better communication, like anywhere that you see that the company makes money, right? Or you're close to the customer, I think is like the closer you can be to that sort of apex of, you know, the things that ultimately keep your business in business, right? Keeping customers happy, bringing in more money than you spend. You know, you may not directly be related to those things, but the closer you can have sort of awareness of those things, I think the better. And then the other sort of nuanced trick, and you know, we know this from, you know, being those weirdos that follow, like when coaches are changing jobs and we're following like their flights and all that kind of stuff, get to know either your boss's admin or your boss's boss's admin. You know, just kind of have a back channel relationship with them, know what they like, be nice to them whenever you can. Because sometimes it's good to be like, hey, where have they been for a couple of days? Who have they been meeting with? And they're always willing, you know, if you're really nice to them, you've done them some favors to sometimes help you out. So the admin back channel is always a good connection to have. All right, man, we've covered a lot of things. Obviously, like you said, every company is a little bit different. You know, no one strategy fits everything, but I think we've given people lots of tips and tricks for surviving Q1. Hopefully coming out on top, you know, throw a grenade when you need to, but probably not too many grenades, all those sort of good things.
Well, maybe I'll just tell one quick story. We can get out of here. Was like, you know, we talked a little bit about, you know, big disaster. So I have done this once in my career. It's like, you know, at the very beginning of a project, it was like a new initiative. And, you know, I think many people, I bet you, if you're listening to this podcast, you're the type of person, someone's like, oh, we want to go build something new for this new market and it has this new technology and it's going to be great and things like that. And like, I am often attracted to this project. So almost to a point where I have to, like, I've learned over time to be a little bit more skeptical, but I went to my boss, said, he's like, yeah, go get involved in this. He's like, I think it's all about you. You'll love it. So it's a brand new thing and you're doing it. And I spent a week kind of doing this design thinking kind of session. And I got to know the whole team and, you know, I kind of saw what they were doing and I got to know some of the leaders. And I came back from that. And I told my boss, like, I am not working on this. I have got, like, you've got to assign me something else, because it was like, you know, there's this moment, I was like, this is going to be a total disaster. Like, because they didn't have a good understanding of what they wanted to build, what the customer was actually wanted, or the capacity to deliver anything. Right? It was like it's like everything was wrong. And I was like, you know, there's these moments where you're like, maybe very early in my career, it's like you want to get in there and like row with the team and fix it. And I was like, man, I have just got to get off this. So there are these moments, I think, in your career where it's like you have to be your own venture capitalist, if you will, assessing where it's like, I have just been assigned something that I think is doomed to failure. So if you do find yourself in that, like, I would not spend a lot of time fixing that. I would find a way to get assigned something else in your company and, in worst cases, maybe move on, because I think there's nothing more, if you will, soul sucking than like joining something where all you see is disaster and then following it to its absolute, you know, to the point it blows up. So it happens to all of us. I think it's maybe something people don't talk about as much, but it's like, hey, if you find yourself there, don't be afraid to get off that project. Do something different.
Yeah. Be the Homer Simpson meme. Just kind of fade back into the bushes. Get out of there. I have been there before. I have had a time where I called my wife and she was like, hey, how'd the first meeting go? And I said, well, I'm either going to be at this company for 5 minutes or 5 days or 5 weeks, but it won't be any longer than that.
That's right.
Sometimes you just know. Well, listen, Brandon, as always, thank you for filling in. Thank you for, you know, sharing your knowledge with us, being sort of the third part of the Cloudcast. We appreciate it. Folks, with that, I'm going to wrap it up. Brandon's going to join us at least for one more here over the next few weeks, helping us out, you know, while we work through some bumps. But, with that, you know, thanks to you all for listening. Thanks for telling a friend. Thanks for, you know, writing into the show@thecloudcast.net. If you got any suggestions or tips or tricks, or if you want to, you know, tell us how you've survived Q1, we'd love to hear it. So with that, I'll wrap it up and we'll talk to you next week.
Thank you for listening to The Cloudcast. Please visit thecloudcast.net to find more shows, show notes, videos, and everything social media.